right, praise God. Also, too, just during the time when Elder Gary asked for words, I actually had a word that God, I felt, placed in my heart. And it's a word I've heard many times before, but never really truly understood the meaning of it. And the word was Renaissance. And of course, we all heard about the Renaissance that went through Europe back in the middle, after the Middle Ages. But I didn't actually understand the meaning of the word. So while no one was looking, I just opened up Google on my phone and just tried to learn the understanding of that word. And it just blew my mind, actually, as to what it actually means. And it means a renewing or a revitalizing or a what's the word we often use in a new, yeah, like a new birth, yeah. And I just really have a sense to 2020, as we've heard today, that perhaps many of us here, you know, perhaps we've been a bit stale in our walk, and we've just been coasting. But I just really believe that the Lord's going to put a seed in our heart to revitalize, to renew, to rebirth our experience with Him, our first love. We often hear in Christian circles about coming back to your first love, and I really feel 2020 is an opportunity for us to come back to our first love. And if that resounds in you today, that you really really feel that you need to go back to your first love, then I encourage you to come forward after the service and seek prayer, and we'll pray together that God will make a way for you to receive that. All right. Firstly, I just want to just give thanks to all of you who serve in the life of this church. And today I'm going to really talk about how serving with a rightful heart really gives glory to God. And that glory comes back to us in blessing and reward. You know, Elder Gary talked about reward today briefly during his communion message. You know, our salvation is a free gift, but it also unlocks the potential for reward. And we'll look at that a little bit today. But firstly, I'd like to also encourage that if you're not serving the life of this church, or if you're not fulfilling a calling of God to volunteer perhaps outside the church, and you've got a heart to follow Jesus and to serve Him and to give Him glory, then I really encourage you in 2020, come and chase me down and seek me into finding how you can help in the life of this church. Because I know there are many here who actually do serve, and I praise God for you guys because you do it faithfully, and it encourages me to see many hands make light work for the rest and give glory to God. But if any of you haven't really put your hand to the plow and started serving, then please see me. We're going to obviously relaunch the serving area next year, and I will probably, there will be opportunity for me to share about that as well. And time is really going, so but please come and see me. Really, pray. If you need to pray about it, pray about it. But ultimately, God doesn't want anyone to stand idle, but wants us all to serve. So I really encourage you to do that. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. There it is on the screen, if you can read it. But if you don't, if you can't see that on the screen, please open your Bibles or your smart devices, and we'll read together. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with every increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I like the word here, transformed, because that talks about us being positively transformed when we give glory to God. When we cast our thoughts, our minds, our effort into glorifying God, then we are actually transformed. We may not enter it with the intention to be transformed, but God transforms us. And if you look at it in a logical perspective, whenever we do serve in any way where we put ourselves backward a step and put someone else or the Lord forward, and we're putting our thoughts, our mind, our effort on that thing, whether it be the Lord or whether it be someone else, we are acting in a way that is selfless, which is actually against human nature in a sense. And in so far, we are transformed into something that is becoming closer to who Christ is, and we'll look at that as well. It actually positively affects our character, but it does also affect other things as well. And I want to have a look at our well-being and peace. And well-being is something that we hear quite a bit about, perhaps in more in circular circles than perhaps we do in the church. But when you think about well-being, it equals peace. Peace in our heart, well-being, in being well-adjusted, is about having peace in our life. And I looked up a website which is called Psychology Today, and Dr. Chicky Davis wrote a definition of what well-being is. And it is having good mental health, high life satisfaction, a sense of meaning and purpose, the ability to manage stress. And I look at all those things and I think, well, wow, that's what Jesus brings in our life. You know, when we have peace in our heart, these are the things that Jesus brings into us. And so it's incredible. If you have a look at how the secular world looks at things, you often find the answers in the scripture. And an answer is Jesus. I mean, the world will have a list of things we should do in the hope that we might obtain well-being and peace. But Jesus ultimately is the answer and is the simple answer for us, because all it takes is a choice to follow him. You know, and even, you know, I'm so glad that Pastor Andrew accepted to share that testimony, because, you know, he didn't hold back in describing the struggle and the thoughts that went in his, that he had to deal with through the process of his ordeal there. But at the end of it, what did he find? He found peace, he found joy. He was rejoicing in the fact that the Lord intervened. And so there's a great example of how, you know, Christ brings peace. And even though we go through struggles, like Jesus even said that, you know, we will endure suffering, we will endure struggles. You know, life, the circumstances of life don't change because we accept him. But those things don't have to affect our heart, don't have to affect the peace that he brings if we enter those things and come out of it with the right attitude. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness," which is an interesting word, because I had to think about what does that mean. So I did a bit of a look up, and in essence it's gentleness. Let our gentleness, let our peace be known to everyone. "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So bring our requests to him. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything of worth, praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And there's the answer to peace, right there. Put it all on God. You know, when we are anxious for something, when we are in a situation of trouble, where we can see the on the horizon through our own natural eyes that there will be some troubled waters ahead financially or health wise, bring it to God. Let him bring it, put it upon his feet. Give him the opportunity to do something miraculous in your life, just as Pastor Andrew testified. Just leave it with him and allow him to allow his peace to enter into you, and he will bring it. You rely on him and he will bring you the peace. It's not all on our shoulders. You know, one of the wonderful things that following Christ is that he promises to take our burdens. He promises to shoulder them for us. You know, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," he says, "because the cares of the world he is willing to take upon his own shoulders." We still have to endure what life brings, but we don't have to endure it alone. Just as you have a marriage partner to endure life together in union with Christ at the center, so too does Christ promise to continue to walk with us during times of trouble, during times of strife. But most of all, he brings peace in our heart even as we walk through that. You know, the world will say, fake it till you make it. Well, you don't have to fake it till you make it, because God is there to shoulder our burdens for us. We'll also look at how giving glory to God also brings spiritual growth to us. And we'll have a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I like that. You know, that's as a service director here at Grow Church, that one resounds incredibly with me. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. You see, there is a relationship being drawn there between serving, being faithful, and then God gives us the words to speak what he wants to speak. It's about submission, and then it's about being faithful and be ready to speak the words he puts in our hearts to speak to those who need to hear them. Actually, I heard something actually. Sister Josie sent me a video yesterday, and I spent a little bit of time to look at it. And actually, it was about a guy who has a testimony of an experience he had when he died on the operating table. But one thing he said is that he met with Jesus. But what Jesus spoke to him was that every word that we speak, we are accountable to. So wouldn't we rather speak the words that God, the Lord gives us, or do we want to just continue speaking idle chatter? You know, do we want to have our words be counted as worthless? So, you know, that kind of, when I look at a scripture like this, and I hear the words of Christ, which, you know, he was quoted scripture in doing it. It wasn't just something he heard. It was something that was scriptural, but I don't remember the scripture reference he used, but perhaps some of you know it. But it's so true. We need to make sure that what we speak brings life to those, and we can only do that when we speak God's word. So if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, again is that word, the glory, and the power forever and ever. Amen. And we've got to get out of the mindset that the abilities that we have, the skills that we have, the gifts that we have, whether it is to play an instrument or in hospitality or whatever it is, that it's by our own strength, by our own grace, by our own ability that we have those things. That's nonsense. God gives us those things. God has imparted that in us. Now, we have to be disciplined to practice those things and to perfect them. You know, the word excellence came in there in the previous scripture that I spoke. So we need to put things into practice, but they all belong to God. So ultimately, the right way to use those things is to give him glory. And we do that by serving. And as we serve, we build, our character automatically gets built as we forget about ourselves and serve one another and serve the Lord. And he gets the glory as well. So everyone's a winner, which, you know, we love it when everyone's a winner. No one loses in that transaction. Colossians 3, 23 to 25 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. There's that word again, reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. You know, there is no favoritism in the eyes of the Lord. You know, and we just work as though we're doing it for God, whether it's for a boss or whether it's we're doing it here at the church or whether we're volunteering our time, you know, for another organization. It makes no difference. Our attitude is that we do it unto the Lord. And, you know, it's interesting. As I was working through this, you know, Pastor Lewis spoke about Martha last week, and you know, Martha was a wonderful example to us what not to do. You know, she naturally is someone who served, but she had to deal with attitude in that as well. Sometimes she felt that she woe is me sort of attitude. You know, I'm doing so much, but I'm not getting recognized, and I'm not getting the help I need, and I'm really toiling here. But no one is noticing me. You know, that's the sort of attitude we've got to really shed and lay aside and just do it because it's for God and because He deserves it and it brings Him glory. Ultimately, that's what we're here for, to reflect God's glory in everything that we do. It's not our glory, it's God's glory reflected through the things that we do. Matthew 25:21 says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" I like that scripture as well. Come and share your master's happiness. Again, it's about reward. It's about being faithful, doing what we do out of selflessness and serving, whether it be for one another or unto the Lord. Ultimately, it's all unto the Lord anyway. But you know, you can't outgive God in all of that too. He wants us to share in His happiness. And in this, and I've spoken about happiness before, actually, I remember last year now. And really what that word happiness in this context means, peace. Come and share in the Master's peace. He wants to give you His peace. But there are keys to unlock that, and this is what I'm really been put in my heart to share for us to do for this year. The last thing too I just want to share about is how giving glory to God through serving and in other ways Scripture shares with us really does build our character and makes us more like Christ. You know, even from a secular worldview and from a Christian worldview, but probably less so now from a secular worldview by what we hear and read in the media, character is intrinsically valuable and important, but particularly in the Christian worldview. I mean, our whole life is about continually being more like Christ, continually growing to be more like Christ. That's what we strive for. That's our ultimate, is to be like Christ. Now we know we can never in this life be just like Him, all right? But we do work towards, and praise God, He doesn't leave us to our own devices to be able to do that. You know, He's given us Holy Spirit to renew us daily, to sanctify us, to draw us closer to Him, to be more like Him. And it's not by trying to do good things, but it's by putting God first. It's about serving. It's about renaissance. I'll use that word again. It's about renaissance. You know, coming back to that first love and allowing that to affect our heart. And last time I spoke about how we need to program our heart in order to motivate our desires. And coming back to our first love, I mean, how good is that? Those of us who are married, you know, we remember when we first, you know, fell in love with our spouse before they became our husband or our wife, and how they were just, you know, the center of our world. You know, we can all remember that, and I trust that for most, if not all of us, you know, our wife is or husband is still, you know, central to our life, that we haven't lost that. But sometimes we lose that with God, and so we need to get back to that, so that our desires are for Him, and it motivates us to fulfill, you know, everything that we are called to do, and it actually brings us closer to Christ. Anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that, but I've just felt the need to do that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:20 says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Now, this is not a challenge. Well, you can take it as a challenge if you feel that applies to you, but this is not the essence of what I'm trying to share here. But here, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church who every time, you know, he went the first time, he taught them the foundational word of God to help build their faith, came back sometime later and saw that they hadn't progressed or they progressed very slowly. And so here he is indicating, well, you should be on solid food. You shouldn't be, I shouldn't have to teach you the foundational aspects of following Christ. You should have progressed from now. And what he's really saying in the heart of it is that you haven't held on to your first love of Christ in your heart. You've let it go. You've let it slip. You've let other things take that place. You've let the things of this world take over the things that where really God's things belong in your heart. And now I have to teach you again the same things I taught you the last time I was here. Don't let that happen to us. You know, if you're at that place, take on that word of renaissance. Allow that first love to come and to be reborn, to be revitalized, to be renewed, so that you can then allow the things of God to just take hold and be back at that first love, and then begin to progress in your life with Christ and allow Him to build your character. You know, when we miss out on certain aspects, like here, Paul was talking about learning. You know, they didn't learn, they didn't understand the things of God the way they were meant to understand it. So you had to go and revisit it. If any of us here this morning feel that we haven't learnt a core fundamental aspect, then we need of what it is to be a follower of Christ, then we need to find that out. We need to discover that. Love, the application of it. Because the Corinthian church didn't grab hold of what it is to be a follower of Christ, they missed out on being able to put it into practice or demonstrating the love that Christ wants to demonstrate to the world. They missed out on it. They didn't know how to love because they didn't have the understanding, the fundamentals of who Christ is, what He did for them, and the importance of having that word be seeded into their heart and grow. And then they missed out on the result. And the result of understanding the things of God and learning and growing in that and the application of the love that the Lord brings through understanding who He is, what He's done for us, but predominantly who He is, then we miss out on an opportunity to grow in our character and to be more like Christ. So there are those three things there. Just if there's nothing else, you grab on today. That I just felt the Lord asked me to share. Pick on those three things. Learn and understand. Share the love that God brings from that and allow your character to be built to be more like Christ. And these are the things the Corinthians church at this time missed out on because Paul had to go back to the fundamentals in his teaching. 2 Corinthians 3. 18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So then, that's the final scripture. Just to go back actually to the first scripture, you know, if we give glory to God, if we come back to our first love, if we open ourselves to understand truly who the Lord is, what He's done for us, but truly who He is and how wonderful and gracious and loving He actually is. And if we put into practice what it is to be a follower of Christ, which is predominantly to just really reflect His glory and to share that love that He's given us, then we will ultimately grow in our character. We will ultimately become more like Christ. And that's really our goal. Is to be more like Him, you know, allow Holy Spirit to sanctify us. But we have to take steps in order for that to happen as well. We don't have to try to be good. That's not what it's about. It's about allowing the changing grace of God's love through Holy Spirit to renew us, to change us, to do renaissance in us. Praise God. It's not too late, but we'll end in prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you this day, Lord God. You are an awesome God. Lord, your word is just brings life all the time, Lord God. I just in delivering your word, Father, after I prepared it, Lord, I just get a real sense of you doing work in me as well, Father. But Lord, I just pray that for everyone here in this room today, Lord God, that you just do a wonderful work in each person's heart, Lord God, through your word, not through my voice, Lord, but through your word, Lord, because your word is life, Lord God. Your word is meaning, Lord. Your word is truth, Lord God. And Lord, as the world will try and say that there are multiple truths here and there, Father, but Lord, there is only one truth, Lord God. There are no conflicting truths in this world, Lord God. But Lord, there is one truth, and you have demonstrated time and time again through your word, Lord God, through its application in the life of your followers, Lord God, that your word truly brings life, that it is truth, that it's a foundation for living, Lord God, and that you help us every step of the way through Holy Spirit, Father. So, Lord, I just thank you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.